This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Can I have the... Easter Sunday, hallelujah, He is risen. Hallelujah. Oh, that was pretty bad. Hallelujah, He is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Finally, my goodness. Where's that been for 5 weeks, right? 6 weeks, I guess. The hallelujahs were gone, but guess what? They're back. Guess what? They're back, you know? And here we are. What a glorious Easter Sunday morning. The church looks fantastic. Thanks to everyone who helped decorate and clean and make this place look so nice. And we have a beautiful sunshiny day. It's spring in Wisconsin. That's what it's supposed to be. So actually, I was after seeing the single-digit wind chill factor this morning, I thought maybe we should just put the Christmas trees back up instead of all this stuff. But my goodness. Well, today we have come to the end of a long Holy Week from Palm Sunday until this very morning. And for those of you that have endured, this is part four of a four-part message that began Maundy Thursday night. You can listen to all of those messages on our website if you want to go 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is the order in which they should be done. But if you didn't hear any of that, you're still going to get where we are today, so don't worry about it. But you can hear the fullness of it if you so desire to. Because what we talked about and where we started on Maundy Thursday was this atmosphere of holiness that we try to create through Holy Week and why indeed we do it. And on Maundy Thursday, if you're familiar with it, it's the institution of the Holy Eucharist, the Last Supper. And Jesus gives us a new commandment that we're actually supposed to love one another. And that we're actually supposed to serve one another. And we read the Ten Commandments on Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy from the Latin mandatum. We get the English word mandate, a command, an instruction. So it's Commandment Thursday. And we're told to do this. And then when that service ends, we end that liturgy in silence as Jesus brought the disciples to the garden of prayer and asked them to pray and to watch with Him. And so we do this beautiful service and it's all reverent and we end. And it says the service ends in silence and the church is in the soft candlelight and everything. But the reality is that first Maundy Thursday, when Jesus is arrested in the garden, the service should end with everyone screaming, crying, and running out in fear and trembling. And we talked about that on Thursday because that's what happened. The soldiers came into the garden and they arrested Jesus and there was chaos. That was Maundy Thursday then. But then we get to Good Friday and we start our Good Friday liturgy in silence as well as we continue our vigil of prayer in the garden. And we end on Good Friday in that solemn place where we know the crucifixion has happened and Jesus has died. He's in the tomb. And we normally see that the Good Friday liturgy ends in silence. But it should end with everyone weeping, depressed, and walking away in great sadness and overwhelming sorrow. Because that was Good Friday then, the first Good Friday. Well, then we get to Holy Saturday, a liturgy that's by and large ignored in the church nowadays. But it's one of my favorites of the year because it's that day when we are reminded that Jesus is in the tomb. And we are to reflect on what would happen if the resurrection never occurred. We would be left with a body in a tomb. We wouldn't have the Eucharist. We wouldn't have the joy of Easter. That would have been it. And Holy Saturday reminds us of that. It starts just like a regular liturgy. If you look in the Book of Common Prayer, the Holy Saturday liturgy is on one page. It starts just like a regular Sunday would, and you'd think that you might be enjoying a regular Sunday Mass, but then it just ends abruptly. It's done. And you leave here thinking something's missing. And that's exactly what you're supposed to think. Because Holy Saturday day then was them arriving at a tomb. It begins and ends with everyone attending, walking away in confusion, sadness, sorrow, and feeling hopeless because they're at a grave. That was Holy Saturday then. The first Maundy Thursday, the first Good Friday, the first Holy Saturday was filled with all of these things. And like Jeremiah says in the beginning of Lamentations, and like people said in that first century, the first Holy Week, like people still say today, when they look at the world and wonder why they're ignoring everything, Jeremiah says, is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Don't you realize what's going on here, folks? Don't you know? And that is Easter season still. There are still too many people in the world out there who look at us and who look at Easter, and much like Christmas, it has become a secular holiday. It's a wonderful day for family and friends. We don't discount that at all, and for a gathering of people and to be with your loved ones. But the reason is that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. He's conquered death. The tomb is empty. The lyric of the song says, why do you look in a tomb for the living one? Scripture says that. It's silly to look in a tomb for one who is alive. But still, so many people pass by and don't understand what's going on this day. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? And so we'll leave this place and we'll see. And you know, you can always tell when you look in the cars, you can see people in nice suits and with ties on. And you know, some of you clean up pretty well, by the way. That's kind of nice. So, others have tried and we appreciate that. Because it is Easter after all. So, far too many people in the world look at us and wonder why we do this. And that is perhaps a question to answer in the fourth part of this series. Why are we doing all of this? Why do we come here on Maundy Thursday to remember the Last Supper, to have a vigil of prayer? Why do we have our liturgies end in silence when we know this is a very, you know, social group and people, you know, enjoy seeing one another? And it's different. It's unusual for you to just get up and leave here and not say anything to anybody. We don't do that at this place. That's, for some, a very hard and difficult thing to do. So why do we bother to do this through Holy Week and through Easter? And why do we do it every year? Well, the answer is really simple. We are celebrating the greatest gift given to us, salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. His conquering of death. His hanging on the cross so that we don't have to. We are telling to the world our story. And we mark it in very special ways. That's why silence after liturgies. That's why special flowers. That's why grand and glorious alleluias on Easter Sunday mornings, because we are telling our story. This isn't the story of Jesus. It's not just his story. It's not something that happened a long time ago that we're remembering. We are telling the story of our family tree, our history. And that's why we do this. It can't be business as usual. We can't come here on Holy Thursday and Good Friday and not have silent, reverent prayer, not look at what's going on and not appreciate the fantastic and awesome sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We are telling through Holy Week and Easter our story, and it reminds us and it reminds the world. This is who we are. This is who we are. We are resurrection, Easter, eternal life people. We have the greatest message in the world. And we celebrate that on this glorious Easter Sunday.